That's right. That's a new underwear line, too.
Yes.
Fruit of the damned.
For atheists.
Yeah.
Produced by Christians. It's scratchy in all the wrong places.
Right.
Like our cold hearts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, your sin places.
Yes.
Sin places.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So let's just kick it off. Lent is coming up. For those of you who practice Lent, you're going to be giving something up.
That's right.
Did you used to do Lent?
Oh, my God, yes. Raised Catholic, we were forced to do Lent.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How was it monitored? Because for Lent, you're supposed to give, it's 40 days.
Yeah, it starts...
of a fast.
Right.
Or giving something up.
Right. What it is, it starts, there's Fat Tuesday, which is the Tuesday right before Lent starts, where you could go hog wild and you can eat and smoke and drink and do all kinds
of things. That's Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
we used to celebrate it as Pancake Day, which I did a little research and I found that everybody does it. Pancake Day is where I'm from. Basically, a couple of the older women in the neighborhood who were really good cooks would make massive amounts of pancake batter. And you would go with a mason jar. Well, I would go to my Aunt Addie's house. I would go with a mason jar or two mason jars and I would get the batter from her. And then we would go home and we'd make pancakes. So we'd have them savory pancakes with like stewed tomatoes or with jam or with honey. And you could eat as many pancakes as you wanted to. So for a kid, this was it.
That's nice.
Now, because I was raised Protestant, the Lent thing was like, you know, we kind of gave short shrift to it.
Okay.
But I knew that you're supposed to give up something for 40 days.
Right.
My mother never made it past like day two. Yeah, and I don't know what other people give up things like.
Oh.
People would say they're going to give up smoking, which is hard.
Yeah.
Or chocolate or sex. So as a Catholic, though, it's a little more serious.
Yeah. Right? They call it also Shrove Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as a kid, you didn't party as much.
What does Shrove mean? I looked it up.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll come back with it. Keep telling me.
Anyway, and so the next day is Ash Wednesday, and that's when Lent begins. And
that's
so,
when you have the mark on your head.
Yeah, right.
And every year I'm shocked. Because I see a couple people with
too.
It, and I'm like, what's going
too.
On?
And you go to a church, and there's no other ceremony. It's just a priest standing there with ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go up, and he puts the mark with his thumb on your forehead and with the ash.
And the ashes are from the palms that you burned when you waved Jesus in, right?
That's right. Palms from the year before.
Yeah, from the year before.
Okay.
I found it. Shrove is the past tense of shrive, which means to obtain absolution.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So
it's really...
you got to get shriven.
So it is about absolution and penance. So you're giving up something. You're making a sacrifice. Some people will call it a sacrifice for the greater good of something else.
Okay.
But it's really more because you're bad.
Yeah.
And
well, you're Catholic.
You're bad.
So
and
you're
so
bad.
You need to just like make up for it somehow.
Yeah. You got
guilt. So you start and you think
a
about
lot of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So Lent lasts for 40 days.
Okay.
Some people say 44 or 42.
Now, does it correspond to the 40 days of being in the desert?
That's right.
Okay.
So, yes, it's inspired by Jesus' trek into the desert.
Yeah, where he actually gave up, like, a lot.
Yeah.
You're giving up chocolate.
Right.
But
right.
And as a response.
Right. So it goes all the way until Easter. So those 40 days between, Shrove Tuesday and Easter are Lent. You pick something, you give it up. And that's what you do.
Okay.
And so as a kid, you know, it's chocolate or I'd like to, you know, some people would go candy.
Being mean to your friends or something like that.
Yeah. We'd usually do some kind of thing that we liked and we got rid of, but it was never do something good. It was even though that would have been much more productive, I think.
Is that legitimate?
Yeah.
Because like I remember people being like when we were kids, like for Lent, I'm going to give up being rude to my sister or brother.
Mm-hmm.
Or for Lent, I'm going to, you know, really obey my parents.
Yeah.
Things
see,
like that. No,
it's not going to fly.
Okay.
So as a kid,
it flew for Protestants.
Yeah. No, Catholics, no, it's like you give up something that you like.
Okay.
It better be good.
It's a personal sacrifice.
Yeah. So,
which in our society is going to be food.
Yeah.
Right?
So it always was a type of candy. Some people would go full on candy.
Mm-hmm.
Some would go chocolate. And some people would be like, lollipops. And it's like, all right, so you can
I'm giving up Hubba Bubba.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah.
No, fuck it. Bazooka.
Yeah. And as a kid, you know,
the hardest gum.
Kids in Catholic school, especially, there always is like a big talk, and everyone's like judging each other's choices and how much it means to them. And
yes,
calling
because
them
that's
out.
Also what Jesus said. Like,
yes, call you really? You're going to give up Twizzlers? come on, you don't even like Twizzlers, you know, that kind of thing would be happening. Some people would like go overboard, and they knew we would never really know. Mm-hmm. They were like, I'm giving up television. It's like,
yeah, go ahead. Sure. Me too.
Yeah. And it's a huge thing to
cursing.
Do as a kid.
I'm giving up cursing. Yeah. I'm giving up cigars in third grade. Yeah. I've had enough. Look at my lungs.
Yeah.
They look like Victorian London.
Yeah.
You know?
And then there's something like, then there's the whole problem, you know, with what if you slip? What happens?
Yeah, what happens?
Oh, what happens? So you're going to hell.
It's smiting. Well, you're going to hell anyway.
Yeah.
Because you've always been evil.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, there's a slim chance of you not going to hell.
But it's just like, man, you just fell off the wagon hard. You feel bad. You feel bad if you slip.
Yeah. Well, I think it's even if you're not doing it for purely religious reasons, you would probably feel bad because you were not able to keep up with something. But what I found interesting about, as I got older, like I knew about Lent and I knew about Fat Tuesday or Show Tuesday, but we didn't have any kind of Mardi Gras celebration.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So there
was,
like the pancakes, that's as crazy as we got.
Yeah.
We weren't, you know, showing our tits and getting beads thrown at us. That's something I feel like I have to get shriven about. Yes, we missed out.
We really had to do something awful too.
Yeah.
And then when Easter
finally rolls around.
Rolls around. It's like, oh my God, there's a basket of candy for me after these 40 days.
That's
and
excellent.
Went to town on it.
And that totally ties in with Jesus said also the candy. I always found that weird. Even as a child, I'm like, why are we eating these candy eggs?
The stone was rolled back.
And there was a basket of candy.
For everyone.
For everybody.
Yeah. It's like, here,
so
candy.
So bizarre.
Well.
So I want to talk about, you know, some things that people might give up for Lent.
Okay.
And I think one of those things is going to be the bouteille.
Oh.
People are definitely going to try to abstain.
People are going to abstain.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
And I found an article here, and this falls under advice on advice, which is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified. And so we give advice upon that advice.
Yeah, we approve.
Can I just say, in Catholicism, they'd never give up sex because you're not supposed to be having it for fun anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is how to abstain from sex with your long-term boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
So it says, if you want to stay sex-free with your boyfriend, take this tutorial. Step one, have a good discussion.
Walk away from him.
Yeah. One step back.
Yeah.
Step one is have a good discussion about your reasons for abstinence. Engage your boyfriend in a good give and take talk about your ideas. Hopefully he'll stay around for the end of this talk.
All right. What is it supposed to, what are the ideas about it? I mean, besides your bad.
Yeah. Concerning the timing for sexual intercourse, seek his input, but explain where you stand so there'll be no misunderstandings later when he's fucking your sister.
Yeah.
Two.
Here are the rules for him. What is he supposed to do if that he has to give
keep it
up.
In his pants. Two.
So you're forcing him into Lent.
Be active together.
Oh, jeez.
In your free time, hike, and there's going to be a lot of it.
Yeah.
Hike, bike, swim, walk, exercise, play sports, and so on.
Oh, that's
so you're going to spend a lot of time together jiggling, like running around.
Getting sweaty. Maybe wearing scanty clothing.
Get up and out. Working your muscles to relieve pent-up tensions.
Yeah.
So, but you're going to be looking good.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Yeah, when Easter rolls around.
He'll be pumping iron and something else.
And Jesus won't be the only thing that's risen.
Exactly. Three, spend time together in public places away from home. Do not study together at home.
Yeah, please.
For instance, but go to the library where you cannot do things in private. Really?
Come on.
I've seen some things happening in libraries.
And the constraints of a library, it's even better.
Yes.
What are you kidding?
Number four, do non-sexual activities.
What? Like what?
Do things
Everything's sexy.
That are not necessarily sexual, such as giving each other massages.
Oh. Make things worse.
Shampoos.
What?
Wait for it. Pedicures?
No.
Come on.
No.
Everyone knows about the feet.
Yeah.
And manicures. Giving each other manicures and pedicures. Yeah.
Wow.
Be touching each other's hands and feet a lot.
And rubbing
on them.
And then you ever get wet.
Shampooing them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes. Number five, be loving. Well, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
You're in a relationship. Even without sexual intercourse, you can show your love for your boyfriend by kissing, holding hands, hugging, sitting close, snuggling, and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Is back door okay? Number six.
It's beach time.
Meet with other girls.
Oh.
Having group meetings with like-minded girls.
And massage them. And wash their hair.
This is where this comes from.
Yeah. Oh,
with like-minded girls. Wink, wink. to reinforce your ideas concerning sexual intercourse, giving each other feedback and a chance to describe strategies.
No.
With wine.
This is what I'm going to tease him with next.
Yes. Number
Did
7.
Did you know that he has... You know, he is participating in Lent against his will.
Can you imagine getting together with other women to talk about not having sex?
Oh, my God.
That's going to devolve into having sex.
Yeah.
Number 7. Give your boyfriend positive feedback. Compliment him on his looks, skills, and whatever. Don't take him for granted.
Oh, my God.
You can't at this point.
Yeah, right.
And then the last one, number 8. Remember your boy. Remind him that abstinence is not forever. You're going to be getting some on day 41.
Yeah.
Royal style.
What is it? Or introduce him to your Jewish friend. Yeah. Take care of him this whole time. If that's your business, if you want to abstain. If you're in a relationship, you can't do that to somebody.
I don't think you're going to be in that relationship for too long.
No.
This is a long term. And talk to him about making plans for that time with someone else at another time period. How bizarre.
Bananas.
It's also in Spanish. Como abstenerse de tener relaciones sexuales con tu novio. Olé.
Great.
How crazy is that?
That's so crazy.
Go ahead.
So you break Lent.
Okay.
We were just talking about that. But
Lent's already over. Minute 10. It's day 41.
No, but I want to get really specific because, like, this is the kind of stuff that has happened during Lent that people agonize over.
Aww.
All right? I accidentally broke Lent. Advice needed. I'm hypoglycemic and I gave up snacking in between meals.
That's foolish.
Yeah. Hoping I could do it. But unfortunately, only...
Nature is against me.
Yeah. Only after 5 hours into Lent, I broke it because I was feeling shaky.
5 hours in? You suck, lady. Next.
I was feeling shaky, so I had a cereal bar. The cereal bar is okay, but I didn't realize it has chocolate chips in the middle.
You didn't?
And
really?
I was giving up chocolate. Can I start again? I'm sure God forgives me, right?
You know what? Because nowadays, especially in this country, we don't label food anymore.
Yeah.
It's just a white package, and you just got to go for it. What is wrong with you? Have a look.
Yeah.
I bet you on the front of it, it said, now with chocolate chips.
Yeah, you know, but that's the thing that happens. You're...
Well, she's hypoglycemic. She's probably just reaching for anything.
Yeah.
She's lucky she didn't just eat a tampon or something.
Yeah.
It's also in a white wrapper.
Oh, man. Okay, so there are several answers here. It was a mistake. No one wants you to hurt yourself. It's not what Lent is about.
Oh, that's what Lent is about,
yeah,
lady.
Yeah, religious practice is not based on only reward and punishment.
Yes, it is.
So bad. Bad answer. And someone else says, you should give up Lent. Let me give this straight. You're worried about burning in hell for an eternity for eating chocolate chips?
You're in the wrong religion.
I'm so glad I'm an atheist.
Oh, there's always... we always get in there somehow and be like, word. I just had 3 chocolate bars. What?
And somebody else says, what? It's only like the first day. Oh, my God.
P.S. That's what I'm saying.
P.S. I like Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
Huh?
People have to make it all about them.
Is there someone like, I have the same name as you.
Yeah.
I like chocolate.
Yeah.
It's like that kid on The Simpsons. There's always one character who's like, no matter what's going on, he's like, I like birds.
Yeah. It's just a non sequitur.
Yeah.
Throwing that in there. Okay. What on earth possessed you to do something so obviously self-destructive to give up a life-saving diet?
You fool. Smack. I love people just go right in on them. You're an idiot.
Does it matter? Christian salvation is through acceptance of Jesus, not giving up chocolate. Or maybe you're not a Christian.
Oh, Lord.
Which would make you a communist. And
really?
That's what it says.
Really?
No, but that's what I'm saying.
That would make you a communist. Okay, so either you're a Christian or you don't believe in working together as a community.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
It's this person's belief.
Okay.
I'm
pretty sure, though, that from what I know of Jesus and his life, that he might have been down with communism.
Yeah.
Not the way, obviously, it's been practiced.
Yeah, but
the
idea of
sharing.
But,
the idea of it.
Of making sure everybody's okay.
Yeah, and working together. Kibbutz, dare I say.
Yeah.
He was Jewish.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Let's see what else they said here. Oh, this one person goes on that says, honestly,
like, lose weight now, ask me how.
Honestly, you're in a bind about this, aren't you? What's this thing with what should I do for Lent getting everywhere? Listen, being a Christian is not to do with observing holy days.
Look at these angry Christians.
Yeah, it's like, this is legalism. It's producing a fruit of condemnation in you, as it always does.
I like that. The fruit of condemnation. Starring Jaquetta Sahmari and Katie Casper as the farmers. sowing the seeds, the fruit of condemnation. Summer 2015. You will be condemned. Fruit. Hashtag fruit.
I noticed this thing.
Fruit of the damned. Sorry.
Fruit of the damned.
Fruit of the damned.
That's right. That's a new underwear line, too.
Yes.
Fruit of the damned.
For atheists.
Yeah.
Produced by Christians. It's scratchy.
Yeah.
In all the wrong places.
Right.
Like your, like our cold hearts.
Yes.
Yeah.
In all your sin places.
Yes. Sin places. It's crotchless. Because that's sinful.
Yeah.
And sexy.
Yeah.
Fruit of the damned. Anyway. This woman is asking an honest question, and then everyone's like, screw you.
Yeah, and then this other person is like, I've noticed this thing about Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday coming in.
Ugh.
Along with Lent, where it's never did before.
Really?
Yeah, this is how she's writing. This is the old church calendar of holy days, and it should quite honestly best be forgotten.
Why? Next, what's wrong with it?
I know, right? She's like, next you'll be observing saints days. And it's like, yeah, some
yes,
people do.
People do. They're called Catholics.
Yes, right.
Also known as Latinos.
She's like, all right, I advise you.
Italians.
Just keep Easter.
Uh-huh.
Christmas and leave it at that.
Oh, she's one of these people.
For the rest is...
She goes to Mass twice a year.
Yeah, that's it. The rest is religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And things men have thought up that are honestly distractors for okay. extreme practices.
Hey, does she know about the history of Christmas?
I know, right. Oh my God. So funny. Like, they have absolutely no place in the simple biblical faith passed down to us from the first apostles of the Lord.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think one of the boons to being a religion, being in a religion, would be all these feasts and the observances of it. It's amazing to me how few things American Christians observe.
Yeah.
Like for celebration.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They miss it, like a ton of things.
Like, wouldn't there be more, like, it's become, you know, we live in New York, so, like, now, you know, I'm expected to get something and be invited to a Seder. Because mm-hmm. I know, I'm like, come on, I know you guys have it.
Yeah, what's up? I want to go.
Hanukkah, I'm like, anybody, first day of Hanukkah, nothing, no invitation. Like, I want to participate, Diwali, like, I want to participate in all these holidays.
Yeah, and you can't.
And there's a lot of fun ones in Catholicism and Protestantism, too. Well, not so many in Protestant, because we're very dry people. But, I mean, there's a lot of fun holidays in Catholicism that just don't really happen anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Actually, I remember a lot of the stuff that we had to do was a lot
of
ceremonies.
I'm not talking about the, I did the Stations of the Cross.
Oh, that is the worst. Stations of the Cross.
It's horrifying as a child.
Oh, yeah. What you do if you don't know Stations of the Cross, it is basically the whole story.
Then you don't know nothing.
And if you haven't experienced it, you've never been bored out of your mind.
It takes a long time to get around those stations.
You know,
it's not just two or three. That's like 14 of them.
It's like what should be like a Tarantino movie
yes.
is now the most boring thing in the world.
Yes.
It's like this. So they take Jesus. He gets betrayed
yes.
by Judas.
It's a great story. There's a lot in there.
Yeah. He's given up. Now he's like, he is condemned. Then
yeah.
he's tortured and beaten.
Yeah.
And he has to go through this whole thing in public humiliation.
Yep.
And he's slowly dying the most agonizing death.
Yeah.
And so at each step in this process, the priest and the altar boys walk around the church and stop at each of the stations where, like, each
yeah.
beat of the story happens.
I bet you back in the day, though, it was much more theatrical. I know from my, you know, doing medieval history that the church used to put it on.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be, you know, really exciting.
Yeah, some places would actually, they do, some churches actually have an actor
yeah.
as Jesus dragged the cross
down. Because you're supposed to get into it. You're supposed to feel the
right.
story.
Right.
You can't feel the story if you get in having, like, the most boring homily in the world. Like,
yeah.
you know, you go 3 feet in front of a picture.
Yeah.
And they're like, and then this happened.
And sometimes they have the congregation participate by being like, okay, this is where the congregation is acts as the crowd.
Yeah, we had to do it. Now, we had to wave the palm, you know, the
wave
palms.
The palms and say crucify
And
him.
Say crucify. And I was like,
that's
I,
mean.
I didn't like it.
I didn't either.
I was like, I'm not saying it. I don't care if I believe in it or not. I'm not saying it.
Or I'm saying it with feeling.
Yeah.
And so you're getting,
what's my motivation?
I don't like this man.
Yeah. But
now, I don't like Jesus.
And then I'm gonna do it with conviction.
Right.
I didn't like doing it. I felt bad. I felt sad.
Yeah, I did too.
It made me very sad.
Either.
It didn't make me believe in anything, but I felt sad.
I felt sad, and then they also burned incense too, and it
yeah.
stunk.
It's not very good.
Stations of the Cross.
Yeah.
Stained glass windows. And if you look at a church, the stained glass windows will sometimes have the imagery of each one. So there's your station, folks.
Yeah. That's
what
you can do it.
Man.
Man, oh
okay.
man. So I have, back to the Mardi Gras thing.
Oh, let's talk about something fun.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
But they've made it not fun. So I found this best Mardi Gras throwables.
Throwables.
So apparently, I've never been to a Mardi Gras celebration because I don't like a lot of people. I just don't. I'm not into that. So apparently the Mardi Gras celebrations, they start weeks before actual Mardi Gras. I did not know this.
I didn't know that either.
And they have crews. It's just K-R-E-W-E, which are groups that get together and they do the parades. So okay. What these crews do is they throw beads, is what we know, right? Because we haven't actually been. But apparently they throw all kinds of different things into the crowd. And people go around and they collect these things as a part of the Mardi Gras celebration.
Do they build something with
them? So, well, some people, they're quite nice. So,
okay. Tossed
by the handfuls from the floats, the best throws, that's what they're called, include women's shoes.
Oh, both?
Just painted coconuts and tiny water squirting toilets.
What?
Bear with me here. Okay. So the tradition of throwing trinkets dates back to the 1870s, right? So they've been doing this for a while. And the hottest throws in years have included special hand-decorated coconuts and then hand-decorated high-heel shoes. So these are like foam shoes.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
And they're hand-decorated.
All right.
They get thrown out. So the shoe apparently is the most cherished catch.
Oh, yeah, you've got to get the shoe.
Everyone is trying to get the shoe. They're saying there's a lot of great things that have been going on. Beads, doubloons, and medallions. Mm-hmm. But the muses, that's the crew of muses, that's who throws the shoe. They have elevated the game by incorporating their now signature throw, the muse shoe. So they upped the whole game.
Wow.
By throwing out these amazing shoes, right?
I like that.
So it says here, some of the shoes have heels made out of snow cone cups, slinkies or doubloons. Others are decorated with plastic eyes or plastic grapes. So the people who are in this, in the cruise, they spend between $350 and $1,500 each.
Wow.
So you make your own items and then you fling them out into the crowd.
Nice.
That's actually kind of cool.
That is really cool.
It's a lot cooler than like the beads and things like that. There's a group of crews called the Crew of Tux. And they have a toilet fetish. And what they're throwing out are a pair of sunglasses whose lenses are shaped like toilet seats. And they have lids that flip up and down.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. They are also throwing rolls of toilet paper emblazoned with their emblem.
Wait a minute. If they have a fetish, though, that it means if you wear them, then they're like, you're one of them?
Who knows? And then a miniature toilet, which when opened, squirts into the face of the unwary. Did we mention they also have a purple bristled toilet bowl brush?
Are these going to hurt?
I think they're small.
Okay.
That's my first time about the shoe throwing thing. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So throwing, like I said, throwing stuff is expensive. They also like to throw out the humble moon pie, which is a marshmallow treat.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've never had before. They sell 3 to 4 million of them. And then one of the crews, the Mona Lisa and Moon Pie crew, they threw 55,000.
See, I would like that. That's nice. A nice treat.
Yeah. I always thought it was just beads for showing your tits.
Yeah.
But apparently that's on the low end.
Really? You know, what do you have to show to get the rest?
Well, in order to get noticed and have something thrown at you, you are to dress in outrageous clothing.
Okay.
And that's why people dress up for Mardi Gras who are not in the parades.
Oh.
They also have this weird thing about around the parades where you cannot use the same float twice.
Wow.
So a lot of people, there's an ordinance about it. Right. So some, the crews make their own floats, but a lot of people just rent a float. Mm-hmm. So you'll see like, you know, Lil Bo Peep.
No, you know, nobody needs that.
And then you have to, if you want to use it again, you have to redecorate it as like woodland creatures.
Okay.
Or, you know, like something. like something that will work for that float.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, Chronicles of Narnia, for example. You know, catches some Z's, Wallace and Gromit, what have you, with a sheep.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What would you dress up as?
If I were a predator, probably.
A predator? Yeah.
Yeah, and that way I would throw out heads. That would be my, I would throw out skulls.
I dress like a dinosaur, but a sexy dinosaur.
What would you throw out? Fossils.
Like teeth.
Teeth.
Like
gigantic teeth.
And with like a little hole through one so you can string it around your neck and wear it.
I like that.
Later.
I mean, I've never been to Mardi Gras. I will never go because I just can't deal with.
I think we passed the age where Mardi Gras is exciting.
Yeah.
I think we've done. I think like on a regular like weekend night, we surpassed Mardi Gras.
Yeah, we've seen some Mardi Gras action.
We've done some
things. We haven't shown tits to people, but we've had beads thrown at us. That's all I'm saying.
For nothing.
For nothing.
Yes.
All right.
I got something here.
Cool.
Hot Jesus.
Excuse me?
Hot Jesus, must he be sexy?
Yes.
Well, the thing is that there is this...
That wasn't a question, was it? It was rhetorical?
This is an article on CNN. Okay. I just wanted to bring to your attention. There is
CNN is a hot mess.
It is. It really is. There's a trailer for a new movie called Son of God.
Really?
So Son of God is out now.
Did you hear about Noah? They made it into a huge blockbuster movie.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a great story.
Noah way.
It's a great story, but it's been made by someone who I think is looking at Christianity like Chronicles of Narnia. Oh, like, they've made it. It looks pretty cool.
They should, because they're both fantasies.
Thing. But obviously, there's not a, like, it's a Hollywood movie, so they probably added some things.
Oh, good.
Because the story of Noah, while fascinating, it's not that, doesn't go on for that
long.
They
need dinosaurs on there. That's what they're going to put on the ark.
You put Mitt Romney, two of him.
Yeah.
He'll be on there.
Okay, so this is the new movie, Son of God. Okay. And,
Who's that about? Tyler Perry's. Son of God. That's what I want to say.
People are gawking at the actor portraying Jesus. His name is Diego Morgado.
Really?
And he's hot. He looks more like...
Shouldn't his name be more something like Shmuel Morgenstern?
Diego. Yeah, right? No, right? It should be. It should be.
You know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know. Or a seed.
Yeah. Yes.
I couldn't get a last name. What's a good Palestinian? He's a Palestinian. When Jesus was, it was a Palestinian Jew.
Okay.
That's what he was.
Yeah.
So a Palestinian.
Let's get someone who's like, you know, looks like that. So yeah. They got this Diego Rivera.
Morgado.
Okay.
He looks more like Brad Pitt than like the typical Jesus.
Can anybody be a person of color? No,
he is. So it started like Twitter started doing a hashtag Hot Jesus about him, and he's like totally
and then jump right on it.
Totally embarrassed. He told the New York Times he doesn't want his looks to distract from the movie.
How do you think he got the part?
If the message of Jesus was love, hope, and compassion, and I can bring that to the people by being more appealing as Jesus, I'm happy with that.
They could have picked somebody fugly.
Yeah, they could have.
They could have picked a guy with a spare tire, a B cup, and balding on top, but they didn't.
And some people are like, we don't actually know what Jesus looked like, but we do know he was a carpenter, so perhaps Jesus was buff.
Really?
But what about his face? That's what I say.
Stop, hold on. He's a carpenter, so he's buff?
Yeah, well, sure, he's picking up wood, working, hammering. Sure.
It sounds like the beginning of a porn. I mean, how many carpenters do you know?
That's right. There's usually like butt crack and a beer gut. That's that, Jeff.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, good.
You can think a construction worker.
And even though there's something in the Bible where there's like somebody was like heard about Jesus and he comes from Nazareth and he was like, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? It's like Staten Island.
Is that the tagline? Nazareth. This guy.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the Jesus that we see in the paintings. You know, he has a six-pack, and we're all like, Jesus has a six-pack, blah, blah, blah. But now he's totally sexy, and he's ripped. Like, his face, like, he's, like, hot and chiseled. He's like, what?
Well, maybe this will help Christianity out.
Chained to a pole, and he's, like, no shirt on. And he's, like, look at this picture. Looking pretty sexy.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
People didn't work out like that back then.
I know. He looks like Thor, God of Thunder, instead of Son of God.
Yeah, but... Because people are making, like, when we see Renaissance, you know, imagery of the Christ figure, they were obsessed with the body.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted to show.
Yeah.
But if you look at other cultures, you will see different representations of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
There's no indication Jesus was good looking. In fact, there's another passage from the prophet Isaiah.
That said he was all chewed up?
Saying this about Jesus.
Oh, no.
Well, thanks, Isaiah. Yeah. All right. What a friend.
What did he look like?
Yeah. He says, Jesus, okay, he had no form or majesty that we should look at, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him.
It's Steve Buscemi.
He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from others would hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he was just, he wasn't even average. They're saying he was unattractive.
Yeah.
But that's fine because it doesn't have anything to do with what, like...
Right.
Why should he be attractive?
Right, exactly. Because, you know, so that's what they were saying about him. And then somebody else was like, well, why shouldn't God create a perfect son?
And they mean physically, like,
physically. Yeah, so now someone is making the argument for the movie. Like, the movie people are arguing, why shouldn't he be good-looking? Because anything that is sexy is going to attract people. Mm-hmm. People, you know, who
That's not what he was about.
I know.
He wasn't, you know...
But you've all seen people who are unattractive, but they have charisma and something about them.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, there you go.
He is not attractive.
But you will fall in love.
Yeah, people say
in his presence. Yeah. You don't even, he doesn't have to speak. He just looks at you and you're like, what?
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum is too old to play this role.
Oh, right.
A young Jeff Goldblum.
That's
in my mind.
What
Jesus would look like.
Right.
Right?
And I would follow him.
Yeah, why not? His work was great as Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Parks 1-3. Possibly 4.
Well, they're trying to sell this even more by saying many people have a hard time with the humanity of Jesus. The closer he is to human physical perfection, the easier it is for some to accept him.
Really?
Come on.
I don't know about that. It's a movie, you know? It's a Hollywood film.
You know, so they're saying also, a physically perfect Jesus makes him into a god pretending he is a man when Jesus was both human and divine. Mm-hmm. And they say, like, he was like us in all things except sin, as the theology
says. The thing is, he ain't Hercules.
Right. That means he had a body. He got sick. He got tired. He may have sprained an ankle. Mm-hmm. He got erections.
Had that written there?
No.
Okay.
Then I had a hard time saying it as a former Catholic.
I find it so bizarre because I don't think there's any... It's really about what he did, right?
Yeah, it's not what he looked like. Right.
And if he was really, really attractive, we would have known.
Yeah.
Right? Because they talked about everything else about the guy.
Yeah.
If he was a looker, somebody would have said something.
It would have been
people were writing about him all the time. Like, even at least one of his disciples would have been like, you know what, I don't go that way, but
his cheekbones.
Like, he looks great.
His cheekbones
when he
are
turned
fantastic.
The other one.
Yeah.
It was high.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever.
He raised Lazarus.
Yeah.
But not from the dead.
Yeah.
And that was another erection joke.
Why?
That you didn't.
It amazes me that, I mean, this guy does look very, very hot, but it also is just inconsistent with what people looked like at the time.
When people, this is another thing with communion. Now, mm-hmm. if people are familiar with the church, there's a part of the mass where, the wafers. It's just a wafer, but it's called transubstantiation. Right.
That's for Catholics only.
Right.
The rest of us think it's just a piece of bread.
Right. But we think, Catholics think that it is actually
turns into
the actual body.
Which is creepy.
It's creepy and just so bizarre.
And I wonder what pagan religion that comes from, because it's got to have
something else. The thing is, so if that's the fact, right, if that host is now the actual body of Christ and he's hot.
It's not bad.
I'll put that in my mouth.
Yeah. And that's the third one.
Yay.
Boom.
So, body of Christ, amen to that.
So bizarre. I mean, I don't know if I'll go see this movie because religious films are not really my thing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think I'm going to, you know, I know how it went for him.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know.
You know this. And I also am, I've read so much stuff about Jesus that I'm like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like they're just picking and choosing, and they're gonna like throw some stuff in there. Like, is there a B story? Like,
I wish, right?
What happens to this? Like, what do we really know? You know,
we don't know
nothing.
Nothing.
Not
nothing
really
at
much
all.
At all.
It's all just a bunch of.
Yeah. We have what other people have written, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings about bringing biblical stories to the silver screen because I think what's great about biblical stories, they're great stories.
Yeah. There's a point to the story. It's not necessarily all literal. It's not all that. There's a message.
Yeah. And I wonder what the message of that movie is going to be. Are people going to come out of that movie feeling the message of, like, we need to love one another?
Mm. Do we need to love one another?
Yeah. I can't believe Hollywood could make a movie that has that kind of wholesomeness to it.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sautmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Marcy is our resident intuitive. We've had her on the show a bunch of times. We also frequently use her advice. She's a tarot card reader and intuitive. And she also runs a couple of programs to help you get your life together.
And she's starting one very soon. It's March 15th through April 13th. Called
Starts on the Ides of March.
That's right. The 31st Steps Moving in Great Directions. What it is, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. What Marcy will do is she will email you if you get on her list. There is a cost involved. And every day she will email you with a step to do to improve your life, to make changes. And
if you are, you know, want to try something new or just want to amp up your game, this is good for that as well. Yeah. You've been doing the program, right?
I did it. Yeah, the first time she had around, she went around with it. And I thought it was a lot of fun.
It's like really a brand new Katie.
It's I'm totally new. You're looking. Do you see any changes?
All right, so we're super excited today to have our resident intuitive, Marcy Currier, in the hizzy. She's going to give us some advice on advice on advice.
Right.
And some Hey You Will Know It as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
So what do we got? Katie, you have some advice from the internet.
So, okay.
Is it Ms. Webb?
No, I have here.
Is it Barbara?
No, Dear Amy.
Okay. Oh, okay. Amy Dick, yeah.
Dear Amy, my wife is small-chested, but to my eyes, not unnaturally so. She has expressed concerns that her small chest size might be related to our difficulties in conceiving. But to be fair, we're both in our 40s. And she's visibly bothered by displays of women with large breasts, which, as you know, are ubiquitous. I want to tell her she is normal, but I don't really have enough information to say that conclusively. I do tell her that she's attractive, and believe me, she is.
Okay. Are you kidding?
I want to tell her that she's normal, but I don't have enough information to say that conclusively. That is my new...
Wow.
I'm going to use that somewhere along the way.
People comment all the time about her beauty, and we have a very strong sexual chemistry. I find her body, including her breasts, very attractive, and I tell her so.
Including her breasts.
I do notice, though, that she doesn't do the other things that many other women I have known to do when it comes to body care. She doesn't shave her legs or under her arms. She doesn't get manicures, pedicures, facials, massages, you name it.
Massages is not in the same category with that, but that's fine.
I suggest these things to her, but I think she will see it as a criticism of her appearance. She's already very sensitive.
She sounds like me in the winter.
That's what I'm saying, though, right? I don't shave. I get the pedicure like at the beginning of the winter, and if feet come out, I might do it again.
But she's...
what is this question?
Yeah. The answer is, if your wife has a fairly constant preoccupation and dissatisfaction with her body, she might have something called body dysmorphic disorder. People with
Well, you do.
Yeah.
She just went really far out there.
Well, the thing is, the wife has a problem just with her breasts. She just thinks they're small. She wasn't talking about the rest of her body.
Yeah, either get a padded bra, get a boob job, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Or just get comfortable
And then
with
she
them,
thinks that she can't conceive because of her chest size.
No.
No, I think that there's a possibility, because there's like an estrogen thing.
But is it... He said small chest. Now I'm thinking small chest like a B cup.
Yeah.
We're pretty healthy
she's
here.
She's probably got very, very, like, very small breasts.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my guess.
All right.
That's what I'm imagining.
I mean...
Like super tiny breasts.
A is super tiny for me.
But tiny is
super tiny. It is super tiny.
I remember those days. I was 7. Okay.
Okay. So she feels like you should lovingly reassure her that she's naturally beautiful and absolutely normal. And that this, you just love her as she is.
Marcy has just said she may have that breast disorder where you have no breasts.
What? Many women don't pursue facials, manicures, and spa treatments.
This pursue?
Pursue.
I hunt mine down like a mofo. I don't let him get away.
I'm pursuing
them. Yeah.
Have you had your facials yet? I'm pursuing it.
I'll be on it.
Facial on Wednesday.
I'll be on top of it by Thursday.
This does not indicate that she's less feminine than women who do.
It does, actually.
Yeah, it does.
Well,
that's fine,
it does,
too.
Not in the scientific sense, but in the social sense. It's,
yeah.
That's what femininity
that's
is.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to be that.
So guess what, lady? Okay, then
get
she goes
facial.
On to say, she'd definitely follow up with her physician about her fertility.
Yes.
But she should also ask about her breast size. She could see a psychologist. She can talk through with a friend.
This is not bad.
If she desires augmentation surgery, this should be discussed thoroughly with her therapist. A physician. Surgery might change her cosmetically, but it will not necessarily heal what really ails her. But the thing is, the wife was saying was like, I'm just small-chested.
Well, it sounds like she gets upset whenever she sees anything ever.
Yeah.
So here, I think that this is not a problem. I think that this is really normal.
Yeah.
I think everything is really normal.
Yeah.
I definitely, my first thought was like, if that she should at least go to the doctor, not because I think there's something wrong,
but just
that's doctor related. But sometimes when we go to the doctor, we go, whew, all right.
Yeah.
And sometimes there is something wrong and we go, oh, I would never have guessed that.
Yeah.
But all, I like the husband's answer here. Like, I have no problem with her breasts. It's just the hairy legs and armpits. There's no facial. She's got a ton of blackheads.
Her pores are a mess.
Her pedicure, forget it.
Like staring into hell.
Just at those hooves in bed. Like, he's got this laundry list of everything else but the breasts.
Cuticles dry as a mofo.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, he does have her best interest at heart, but I...
But here's the thing is, she had those no breasts when they met.
Yeah.
So it's not a problem for him.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. But the small breasts, I don't know.
But I think it sounds to me, and it feels to me like the place where it's really a challenge is because she's actually upset about, this is me going on a limb.
Okay.
I think she's actually upset that she isn't able to conceive.
Yeah.
That's the real problem. And then because in her mind, those two things are connected.
So having big breasts, being like, feminine,
her,
being having a baby,
it's all
being feminine. Okay.
That's why she's freaking out.
Because I know tons
of
no titty
women. I think
that
they should make a fertility plan.
Yeah.
I think that that might resolve a lot.
Something else.
I don't
have
like huge boobs. Yeah, all right.
I just feel it's funny. I think it's just funny to think like her making that association.
Yeah.
Let's hear a card on the husband.
Yeah. All right. A card on the husband.
So what's going on with the husband?
And then I want one on the woman giving the advice.
What's going on with the husband? The husband is. The emperor, he's trying to fix something that doesn't need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. He is overly seeing something as problematic.
Okay.
I think he also probably has, perhaps, it's the emperor reversed.
It's a different deck.
This is the Aquarian deck.
Okay.
Love it. The emperor reversed, how I'm interpreting it in this moment is that he may have some outdated ideas about man-woman roles as well.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He may just be missing the point because of the way he is viewing things.
Okay.
Let's look at what's going on with her.
Yeah.
And then we'll do something about the advice.
Yeah, what's going on with his Johnson?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a measuring stick on that.
Also, you're both in your 40s. You know?
Yeah.
When you look, there's a lot of mutation that goes on.
Spring chickenage is over.
Yeah, you may get a lot of defects with the baby. Anyway.
We look at her, we get the Queen of Pentacles. It's very possible that she'll have a baby. Like, that's, not impossible. But she really is becoming hyper-focused on the material realm.
Okay.
When what's actually going on with her is, like, emotional.
All right.
But it's also what I would say to them, if they were listening, is...
and they should be.
Don't lose hope yet. Like, it's just... It looks, we get the Two of Pentacles reversed, and then we get the, I forgot the other one.
The
was.
Emperor.
Emperor reversed was the guy.
Oh, that's
there was
right.
Another one that I had, like, glanced at. The Nine of Rods. What I think is that there may be, I think that there may be a hormonal imbalance. I think she may be tuning into something that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And that
go get it checked out.
Right.
Yeah.
She should definitely, she needs to calm down because stress hormones prevent pregnancy from happening. And I've seen it so many times with so many clients where they really want to get pregnant. They really want to get pregnant. And once they stop worrying about it, they're able to conceive.
They take all the fun out of it.
That's a real thing, too. I mean, stress hormones do prevent the fertilization of the egg. And then what do we think about the advice? My personal feeling is that the advice is not that bad. And then we get the Emperor reversed again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like they're all existing in the same paradigm, and it's not actually getting to the root of the problem.
Okay.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. Thank you. So if anyone's looking to find you, where can they find you?
Marcy@metamarcy.com, or you can call or text me at 860-823-8605.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
We have a listener email.
Sweet.
I want to read here. This is from Tanisha H.
Yay.
She says, she's like, greetings. Hello, ladies. I enjoyed your last show, number 142, When Doves Die with Catherine. We had our guest, Catherine Wayne. She was great. Tanisha goes on to say, I love how she just blended into the show as if she was your third co-host.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you
She's also the fifth Beatle.
I hope you have her on more often. All right. And then she says, all right, I have two things I think you may be interested in. maybe for personal entertainment or just material for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Your choice.
One and the same, Tanisha. Yeah. One and the same.
The first is reality show news. Since the Olympics...
Hey, someone likes that segment.
You're looking right at me.
Yes.
Since the Olympics and reruns have taken over on television, I have been...
Are they over?
They're over now.
Okay. Did you watch any of it?
Not really.
I watched the part where the dogs got onto the highway and started running. That was it.
That's awesome. Right. Yes. No, there were wolves.
Oh, they were wolves?
Wolves got onto the highway.
Good grief.
Yeah. They were running. But Tanisha's saying that she's been caught up watching a ridiculous show on MTV called Are You the One? She says, check out the trailer and click the link and let me know what you think. we have to do a full segment on this.
Yeah, we're gonna bring this back, Tanisha.
I'm not encouraging anyone to fall into the trap of actually watching it.
Oh, you are.
This is a
it's
trap.
It's gonna get
set.
Watched. Yeah.
Trap is set, yeah. Sprung, yeah. Caught.
My foot's in it.
She goes, I know Jaquetta likes to be up to date on
I'm like, I sure do. I'm obsessed with it, but I won't watch it. I'm watching Face Off, because I like Face Off, and then I'm watching The Worst Chefs in America, because Bobby Flay.
Okay.
Why not? And Chef Ann.
She says that another show she's recommending is a kind of a robo-apocalypse, new unpopular science kind of combo.
Nice.
That's good. It's one of the few shows airing new episodes right now. It's called Almost Human, starring Michael Ealy and some other D, maybe C-list actors.
D-minus. Aww.
It's about what the world is like after people begin to abuse science to commit serious crimes, such as people selling individualized mind enhancers on the black market. Wow, because people cannot compete with genetically enhanced, chronologically developed humans.
Wow.
The thing that freaks me out about the show is it's set in 2048, which is not far from now.
That sure isn't.
Is Fox trying to tell us something?
Well, I'm going to check it out.
We're going to check that out and see. We're going to total report on
this. Yeah, we're going to report on that.
But we wanted to read your letter or your email, and thank you very much.
And your shot glass is on its way.
Yes, it's there. As always, ladies, it's a pleasure listening to the show.
Thank you so much, Tanisha. We appreciate emails.
And we are going to expand on that.
I have a little piece of unpopular technology. Speaking of which, this is the smellable ringtone.
What is
it? So what?
Oh, come on. Everyone's trying to get us to smell things, and it never works.
It's a plug-in for smartphones. It delivers a notification by scent. Rather than a ringtone, to which I have to ask, did someone request this?
And how can it go wrong?
It's a new plugin called Senti.
Okay.
Delivers notification
by scent.
How did
they get
that name? I know. It has a smell dongle, which looks like it's like a little a circle, and I guess it sticks into where you would put your headphones.
Okay.
All right. It's called a dongle, which already is a problem for me. It retails for $35. It plugs into the headphone jack, and it contains a small scent cartridge that containing enough fragrant liquid for 100 scents, or 100 sprays. Users can plug in to deliver a different scented puff on timed intervals as an alternative to audio notification. So instead of the really convenient thing of having your phone vibrate a little bit or chime, it could just
stink.
It could just smell. Like, how is it? You could have certain smells like rose, lavender, coffee, which, I'm sorry, in New York City, I probably couldn't smell that.
Yeah, right.
Distinctive. I mean, it's everywhere. This room smells like coffee. Yeah, I'm sitting 2 feet from a coffee cup right now. So you can use it also with your alarm clock, so you can really wake up and smell the coffee.
Oh, that's terrible.
Why would you need this?
Why would you make that joke?
I don't want to be... Why would you make that joke? Why would you make this product?
Yeah.
I don't want to be hanging out with you and all of a sudden like...
What is that smell?
Is it lavender?
And can you have different scents for different people, like different ringtones?
So probably.
Like rose for your...
I don't... Well, I'm assuming that this... It's about the size of a quarter, it looks like. I don't know how many different fragrances
it couldn't
can
really
be
activate.
There.
It has to be just one. That doesn't help you.
No.
And then also you have it on your desk, and then your desk is like, oh, it smells like roses over here.
I wrote a little note here for myself as a can it mace, because that's something I might actually use.
That would be good.
If I could mace you with it, then I'll be excited about it.
I don't like it.
I don't think it's really good either.
It's like smell-o-vision that never took off.
I have one more thing. I know we had talked about pirates in the past.
Yeah. Oh, we love our pirates.
We love our pirates, but pirates are about to get a little comeuppance because they're trying to create remote-controlled cargo ships.
What?
So that there's, so this, okay.
Fine, if you get on this boat pirate, you're going to go to...
Nothing's going to happen. Yeah. Because what people do when they get onto these ships, they're not stealing the cargo. They're holding the people on the ship ransom.
Yeah.
If there's nobody on the ship...
Oh, then there's nobody.
Then there's nothing. There's no one to hold ransom. The problems, though, are going to be, first of all, they said, if there are no sailors on the boat, sailors are upset because they don't want to be, pushed out.
They like the open seas.
Yeah, and also prostitutes.
Oh.
Who are...
What's coming into port?
Nothing. There's going to be robo-prostitutes there now. For the robots aboard the ship. Can you imagine that?
Oh, God.
A seedy waterfront. A lot of robo-sexual activity going on.
This is the time where I wish I knew some nautical terms to throw in here.
At my old job, I would write and use nautical terms all day to describe like a polo, but now I can't think of any.
I've been helming the ship all day. Can you take the helm now in your hand? Something.
But then when you say in your hand,
yeah,
and by that I mean a hand job, it kind of takes away from using that the cute double on.
Doctor, right? This is, how long have we been in this room?
I don't know.
This is like our
5 hours.
5 hours, hour I five. Think.
Is this like and that's the end. That's the end of our podcast.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks!
I was totally just...
What happened? It fell apart. The whole thing deteriorated.
I totally wasn't listening to your intro. Did you introduce?
Yeah.
I totally...
What else were... Yes. What were you doing?
I was like looking at which one would be the best.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I thought you were getting ready to read it.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just busted right into it.
Okay. So this is a Hey You Will Know It.
Okay. I introduced it like it could be anything.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
This is where Marcy will give us, help us out with the, I said anything. All right, here it is. Here's the question.